Couple of Bible readings. And the first is from Paul's letter to the Ephesians, chapter 1 and verses 3 to 10. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 to 10. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love he predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ in accordance with his pleasure and will. To the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us. With all wisdom and understanding, he made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ to be put into effect when the times reach their fulfillment, to bring unity to all things in heaven and on earth under Christ. And then some words from the letter to Titus, chapter 2, and verses 11 to 14. Titus, chapter 2, 11 to 14. For the grace of God has appeared that offers salvation to all people. It teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age while we wait for the blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Saviour, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all wickedness and to purify for himself a people that are his very own, eager to do what is good. 128. We've been working through some of these, or all of the Psalms of the Ascents, and called the Psalms of the Ascents not because they're rock climbers' songs, but because they're songs that were sung on the way up to Jerusalem by pilgrims attending the festivals there. Some of them are not easy. There are some that are quite difficult. In fact, the next two or three after this psalm are really quite have some quite tough verses in, which we'll look at when we get to them. But this is a really optimistic psalm. It speaks of blessing. It speaks of going up to Jerusalem to celebrate something important, and the result being that when that is done honestly and fully from the heart and the mind and the soul and in all our strength, that God honours that and blesses and allows us to become a source of blessing to others in his name. So we remember that as we read it. And then, just because I like it, I'm going to show you again a brief video that I showed this morning, at which you are allowed to giggle. But this is Psalm 128. Blessed are all who fear the Lord. Now, I'm going to stop at that point just to say that when we talk about fear here, we do not mean being terrified of. We mean honouring. We might mean recognizing God for who he is and who he wants to be in our lives, our Saviour, the one who blesses us, the one who helps us through. And perhaps we could truly say in our own vernacular that it's the person who doesn't know the Lord who needs to fear the Lord. That those who fear the Lord don't need to fear the Lord, if you see what I mean. It's one of those problems with our language and the words that are used here. Blessed are all who fear the Lord, who walk in obedience to him. You will eat the fruit of your labor. Blessings and prosperity will be yours. Your wife will be like a fruitful vine within your house. Your children will be like olive shoots round your table. Yes, this will be the blessing for the man who fears the Lord. May the Lord bless you from Zion. May he see the prosperity of Jerusalem all the days. May you see the prosperity of Jerusalem all the days of your life. May you live to see your children's children. Peace be on Israel. Well, we giggle. Well, at least I hope we giggle. And we giggle because, you know, something like that bears a truth as well. That's about as much as a lot of people make of Christmas. It's all to do with inflatable Santas that soon deflate after the event. But yes, we probably enjoy Christmas. I've always loved Christmas. My mum was a great lover of Christmas, and I suppose I inherited it from her. And the fact that she went to be with the Lord on Christmas Eve did nothing to lessen that, but rather perhaps increased it. And I remember on the afternoon of Christmas Day, we all sat and watched the snowman, and as the snowman melts at the end, we were just a flood in that room. But we just carried on praising God for the gift he had given us in her and the gift he'd given us at Christmas. Because in Christmas is the most incredible truth. I mean, we make much as good evangelical Christians of the crucifixion and the resurrection, and so we should. For Christ came into the world to die. Because God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him should have eternal life. But if he'd never been born in the world, there would never have been any crucifixion. There would never have been any resurrection. He had to come in. He had to be incarnated. God chose to enter the human race on equal terms. And then said, "Judge me on this. Judge me on what I teach. Judge me on what I say. Judge me on how I die to reunite you with God because your sin has got in the way. Judge me on the fact that I live eternally and invite you to join that life with me. Judge me." We have the opportunity to know God. We have the opportunity to live for him. We have the opportunity to make Jesus known. I know one of you this morning made a very significant prayer with somebody as they gave their life to Jesus. very, very significant. Somebody who's been prayed for and prayed for a long, long while and came through this morning. In fact, when I looked around the congregation this morning, I thought, who's here to receive the gospel? But he did. And we praise God. When we know God, he blesses us. That's what he loves to do. To bless us all the days of our life. That does not mean he digs us tunnels under or builds new roads round or viaducts over the difficulties that come our way. Would that he did very often. But all of us have known those times when life seems to have thrown up walls that we can't get under or around or over. And we just stand before them in God and wait on him to show us a new way. But often as we spend time at those places, they become places of blessing. They become the opportunities because they're the times we throw ourselves on God's mercy as we've never thrown ourselves on God's mercy before. Blessed are all who fear the Lord, who honour him, who trust him, who respect him, who will live for him. He'll bring blessing to us. The blessing that it talks of here is to do with prosperity. You'll eat the fruit of your labour, which is a very agricultural sort of term. You know, you put your time in the fields, you'll get the fruit out at the other end. But you'll be prospered. Your wife will prosper you. Your children will prosper you. Because God is prospering you. May the Lord bless you from Zion, Jerusalem. May you see the prosperity of Jerusalem all the days of your life. What is the prosperity of Jerusalem? The core to Jerusalem was the temple. The temple had many rich objects in it, but the thing that was most important that the Jews believed was in the temple was God. Of course, he was bigger than that, and bigger than their ideas of him. But if we want to know him all the days of our lives, we need to keep coming to him, to that place where he can bless us. Where he will bless us with his peace. I believe that in this day and age, the church has such an important message for society, but so often we have been heard as being critical, negative, even troublemaking in some quarters, and sometimes we have to speak the difficult word. We have to stand up for God's truth and God's righteousness. But the most important thing we have to do is to bring God's blessing to others, which means we will go on and on finding ways of getting to people and sharing them with them, God's love. We saw this morning in that wonderful video from the Billy Graham organization how God had impacted on three very different lives and brought blessing to them, and how various different people along the way had been instrumental in those people receiving the blessing of God. He wants us to be a blessing people. But we will never be able to bless others unless we come to the one who is, in the old words of the hymn, the fount of blessing. He is the one who bubbles up like a spring into our lives if we will let him, bringing his refreshing, his encouragement, his restoration. Let's just listen to that hymn sung in a fresh way, Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing, and then we're going to move into our time of prayer and communion.